the Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I've been joined by the finest guest. I got to turn that microphone a little bit. We got to get you on there, Harvey. Hold on half a second, audience.
Excellent. Am I on?
I think you're on, Harvey K. Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, my fine guest. Harvey, welcome to the Devil Radio World Headquarters.
Thank you. This is very exciting to be here. Not only do I get to see traffic on University Avenue.
You got to be careful. If you focus, it's like a tennis match here. They go left, they go right.
This is really exciting. And not to mention the fact the weather here is extraordinary. I feel like I went down to Florida from Green Bay.
Buddy, you brought the sun. It's like 74 glorious degrees here in Madison.
Yeah, I overdressed.
Well, Harvey, we're both wearing pants. We should be showing off our pasty white Wisconsinite legs.
Right. That's very true.
Now, Harvey, I understand you came to Madison because there was a press conference, but also a legislative action that's coming forth, an economic bill of rights. And I know this has been an important issue for you. Let's talk about what's happening here in the state legislature. Harvey, what did Francesca and Christina Shelton do today?
Okay, so Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, Madison Assemblyperson, Wisconsin, Green Bay Assemblyperson, they a year ago launched the idea of creating a Wisconsin Economic Justice Bill of Rights, sort of standing on the shoulders of FDR's 1944 call for an Economic Bill of Rights. Well, a year has gone by. They're in their second year as state representatives, and they decided now was the time in election year time to relaunch in a major event, and that's what this morning was about. So there were progressive activists, progressive legislators, Congressman Mark Pocan turning out. They had a press conference, half hour of each person speaking how important it would be to pursue an economic bill of rights. Afterwards, we went over to Cooper's Tavern and had a 20-person roundtable lunch. That's where I spoke to let them know that it isn't just single issues that are being put together, but that this is a tradition, if you like, a legacy of FDR and a tradition of the progressive movement beginning in the 1930s and 1940s, sustained by the likes of the great labor and civil rights leader, A. Philip Randolph, and then Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, not long before his passing, actually called again for the Economic Bill of Rights on the national level. And I'll just add one other thing, which most people, in fact, at the lunch I said to Mark Pocan, I bet you don't even know this. In 1960, the Democratic Party platform was laid out entirely in terms of FDR's call in 44 for an Economic Bill of Rights. So I said at lunch that not only, you know, was there history that we should embrace, but also Wisconsin was always the foremost progressive state. The University of Wisconsin-Madison in various departments was the incubator for progressive ideas with a capital P. And maybe after all these years, now is the time for Wisconsin to become once again the capital P progressive state. And maybe by way of a UW system, we can, you know, start resurrecting the idea that the job of a professor and students is to take the university not only into the classroom, but to the very edges of the state.
Dr. Harvey K., you and I have chatted at length about the failure sometimes of the Democratic Party to offer the people something, to really make it clear what it is we stand for. Obviously, you didn't mention it, but Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, they're Democrats, in case anyone thought some Republicans were rolling out an economic bill of rights. This is supported by Democrats. And would you envision this as something of a party position, a platform position, an electoral position? What do you see this becoming?
Okay, well, first, let's not forget the irony of the fact that the progressive movement in this state actually emerged from the Republican Party over 100 years ago. And it's only in the wake of World War II that Democrats really became the foremost progressives in the state of Wisconsin, probably because FDR transformed the National Democratic Party. Now, what do I see it becoming? Well, I have teamed up with various people around the country, especially Alan Minsky, who's the executive director of Progressive Democrats of America, that's capital P, capital D, capital A. And we've authored a national call for all progressive candidates and political office holders to embrace an 8-point economic bill of rights to make this a real election issue. And progressive Democrats is saying pretty firmly that if a Democrat or a Republican, which is a near impossibility, but if a Democrat wants an endorsement from PDA, they must sign off as an endorser of this economic bill of rights. I'll just add as well, I've been in touch with state legislators in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and fairly significant political people in California. The idea is maybe now is to start getting some traction. And I think the Democrats have been missing a story, a vision. You know, if you and I walked out, well, not out here onto University Avenue, it's too much traffic. Let's say we went down to State Street or we went out to Middleton to the shopping mall, whatever. If we stopped people and we said to them, what do the Democrats stand for? Even the Democratic voters among them would sadly give us an apology for the Wisconsin or national Republican description and talking points about Democrats. In other words, the Democrats would not tell us something visionary, something that they're reaching for. And this economic bill of rights that Francesca and Christina have proposed could well be the point where the Democrats start to redeem themselves.
Harvey,
go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Are you, if I'm understanding you, Harvey, and you correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is effectively we the Dems, we the left, yes, have become defensive because we've been so framed by the other side. They tell us what we stand for. They tell the American people what we stand for. And we fail to tell the American people what we stand for.
Yes.
Am I close on that?
Well, you are. But here's, I'll give you the more even more tragic rendition of it. For 45.
I can't take it. Bummer, Harvey. It's glorious out here in Madison. Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest in the Devil Radio studio. Please continue. I'm sorry
for
to interrupt.
For 45 years, the Democrats have all but abandoned as an official party. Not
yes.
all Democrats.
Sure.
But too many Democrats. And I'm including the Democratic Party leadership at the national level. Had all but abandoned the working class base of the Democratic Party. The visions and the proposals and the ambitions and aspirations of a party that in the 30s, and again, as I said, in 1960, literally ran on a platform of economic rights for all Americans. What I mean by that is healthcare guaranteed, education as far as people can pursue it by their abilities, guaranteed, guarantee of a job, if necessary, a federal job, but a meaningful job at a living wage. Those are certain basic rights that would literally transform not just the party image, but it would transform the nation. We would become not only more small-D democratic, we would become a decidedly prosperous nation. If all of a sudden people had jobs where they could afford to do things and buy things. And by the way, we should also not fail to mention the Wisconsin Economic Justice Bill of Rights, as does the national call, calls for a clean and safe environment and a secure planet. Another way of putting that would be a Green New Deal kind of initiative.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest here in the Madison studios. He is Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, here's my fear. Democrats are already being framed as, you know, the creator of rampant Biden inflation, right? You know, you socialists, you print money and you give it to people, and damn it if those people don't try to spend it. And then you got rampant inflation. Let's not forget Joe's driving up the gas prices, completely independent of what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, etc. Well, are the Dems going to have the courage to stand out there and be true progressives, Harvey, when they get painted? We just talked about, you know, the Republicans do a better job of defining Democrats than the Democrats do. Well, holy schmoly, man, how do you go out there and say, no, I'm a proud progressive. I'm left of the field. I think we got to move this country forward. Well, that's going to take some political courage under these headwinds.
Okay, well, let's consider the fact that back in the 1970s, when I was in college and grad school, people actually started talking about nationalizing the oil industry. Now, if the gas prices are high at the pump, they were high at the pump before there would have been an impact from what was going on in Ukraine. Obviously, I'm not even saying it's the gas stations. the gas, the oil, the big petrochemical companies, they are more than happy to pounce and take our money. That's for a start. So I would say, I'm not telling us we have to nationalize, but we should definitely, definitely learn how to regulate more effectively. It's
how about a windfall profits tax?
How about a windfall profits tax?
Petroleum companies.
Do you want to run, by the way? I'm happy to endorse you if you want to run on that platform.
I've made the mistake of declaring political allegiances before. No, no, I'm not running for anything. But a windfall profits tax,
yes, right?
It's already on the books. It's just a matter of instituting in time of need, correct? If it effectively is a hedge against things like war profiteering or profiteering in general during times of crisis. Am I wrong about that?
You're right. In fact, it just dawned on me that maybe wouldn't it have been great if Joe Biden did a national address and he called for a march to institute, to make real the windfall profits tax. I say this and it sounds, you know, like I'm joking. I'm quite serious. I've told you before that one of the major problems we have is that our Democratic Party leaders refuse to call into being and into action American citizens, the American labor movement. I mean, we should be at a moment in American history, given the gross inequalities and the kinds of things that working families have to endure to put enough gas in the tank, to put enough food on the table, where we should see a vast coalition of the diverse progressive movements, a diverse coalition come together in some kind of united front to start demanding progressive action so that Biden can't just give a speech and leave off, well, now what do we do? Well, now what do we do is not just put a bill on his desk that he can sign, literally make the representatives push him. We need to be pushing our representatives and so on. Now, I don't just mean coal and Wright and all that. I mean organizations exist. The only time we've seen really mass action of late was in the wake of the tragedy that led to the Black Lives Matter movement. But on the day before, was it the Trump inauguration, we saw the massive, massive women's march.
Day after.
Okay. During the pandemic, it's tough to keep things straight. You know what I mean?
I do.
Okay. The point I'm making is that we have the people. The majority of Americans want national health care. The majority of Americans want free public education and higher education and improved public education. What we're calling for, what you and I are talking about, is what the vast majority of Americans want, which means that it's going to take the voice of a leader to mobilize their energies.
Harvey, I hear a lot. We get conservative callers, Republican callers. Oh, Joe Biden, inflation, it's all Joe Biden's fault. But I don't hear a single one of them advocating for an increase in the minimum wage or paying a living wage. That was the standard in the state of Wisconsin until Scott Walker decided, we're not going to make a living wage be a living wage. We'll just eliminate the language from state law. So, Harvey, do you see this as anything other than disingenuous and politically motivated, this shade casting upon Joe Biden, at least over gas prices?
And look, I am not a fan of Joe Biden because Joe Biden is not doing what he needs to do, but what he's capable of doing. And I think he's capable of saying in a State of the Union address, not only do we need certain kinds of things, we need to mobilize, organize, and push for those kinds of things. That's what's missing.
Harvey, I want to talk to you about, you mentioned Green New Deal. Well, you know, this little war thing, this little invasion of Ukraine, seems a lot about petrochemical policy, about oil policy. I'd like to know how the Economic Bill of Rights factors in, you know, the next economy, the green economy, hopefully not the petrochemical economy. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates. I got a fine guest here in the Madison studios. He's Dr. Harvey K. We'll come back one more segment with Dr. K and you. You're going to keep listening. I feel quite confident.
It's a disgrace what's happening.